My stubborn will at last had yielded. I would be thine and thine alone. But this the prayer my lips are bringing. Lord, let it be thy will be done. Sweet will of God, still
sin, no reason to die. could there be found in him? Yet he bore the shame so willingly, such love was never known. That man should have been me, his crimes were my own. It was my sin that nailed him to the tree, his Father's plan to free a sinner just like me. The blood he shed gave pardon full and free. God's view of my sin was blinded by the sun. I stand forgiven as though I'd never sinned. It's hard to believe Jesus took the blame on him. Now even when I fall, he's forgiven everything. He hears each time I call, I gladly claim him as my king. It was my sin that nailed him to the tree, his Father's plan to free a sinner just like me. The blood he shed gave pardon full and free. God's view of my sin was blinded by the sun. The blood he shed gave pardon full and free. God's view of my sin was blinded by the sun. God's view of my sin was blinded by the sun.
Blinded by the sun, S-O-N. Yep. Otherwise, it would still be out there in the open for you to have to take care of. But it's gone through the sun. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 8. We'll talk a little bit about that yet even some more. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16. Told you I'm going to deal with a verse here that the charismatics use for their healing and they're claiming healing and demanding of healing out of these two verses. It's a very favorite verse of the charismatics and the Pentecostals. Now after Jesus had made the leper man whole and the centurion's servant whole, and then Peter's mother-in-law, oh, by the way, Peter's mother-in-law, hey, couldn't have been a pope. Couldn't have been celibate if he had a mother-in-law, raised her up. I believe speaking of how that God will raise up Israel once again from the dead. And then verse 16, we continue more with healings that the Lord does. Verse 16, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed of with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Question, is healing in the atonement? Charismatics claim that healing is in Christ's atonement for sin as a benefit available to all believers today. Now, if this were true, then no believer should ever get sick or die. Okay? Because healing's in the atonement. And it's there for all of us. Then you should never get sick, and therefore you never will die. Physical healing has been secured by Christ's atonement, but we only get it at Christ's return when we receive our resurrection bodies in a glorified state up there in heaven. Not now in the church age. You're still going to be afflicted and have trouble and sickness in your body. It is going to run down by age and by environmental reasons and so forth, and it's going to get sick. It's going to eventually die. Okay? The charismatics can try to claim healing and so forth and keep you going. How long can they keep you going? They all die. They all die of some kind of sickness or disease or whatever. I mean the charismatics who are claiming healing in the atonement. And they use this one here, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And they say He did that on the cross. And on the cross there He bore all your sicknesses and all your infirmities. And so therefore, if you as a believer get sick, it's because of a lack of faith on your part to participate in what Christ did for you on the cross. And you should say no to your sickness, claim the healing, and declare to everybody, I'm not sick. When in reality, you are. You still are sick. And these phony TV evangelists who perform miracles on their television sets, they're not happening. It's false. You say, well, I saw him heal somebody. He came up on a wheelchair and he walked off the platform. Yeah, and an hour later, he was on his way to the hospital to get his back in shape again. And this happens a lot at these services. These healings are not full healing. And by the way, they're not complete healings. All the time you see them when they heal somebody, it's like halfway healing instead of all the way healing. Did Jesus in His atonement take all of it or just some of it? You know, He took all of it, but it's not for us now. In our bodies, the healing and the infirmities will be taken away when we are received up into glory and we're changed in the twinkling of an eye. And our bodies which are corruptible now will then be incorruptible. Our bodies which are mortal now, meaning can die, will be immortal, unable to die in heaven. Wow. That's when it will take place. It doesn't take place now. Now, spiritually, we are healed from sin and all of its the consequences of sin. And go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 is another favorite verse of the charismatics with their healing doctrine. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says this, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And they like that, ye were healed by His stripes, as just another explanation of Him taking all your diseases and sicknesses and dealing with them on the cross so that you don't have to have them now. If you claim the power of Christ, somehow you say a special prayer, you put your hands on somebody and pray over them and declare that the sin is going to be taken away in the atonement of Christ on the cross, that's what they do with this verse. But you know what? Peter is speaking in the past tense here when he says, by whose stripes ye were healed. Already healed. Not going to be healed in some service with a healer 5 years from now or 10 years from now whenever you get a sickness. No, ye were healed. I believe it's talking about the sin healing of the soul that's being taken place here. I've been healed from sin's consequences. I am freed from sin's condemnation. And I have a home in heaven, everlasting life. And one of these days, even my physical body is going to enjoy the freedom from sickness and all the diseases and things that happen here on earth. Peter tells believers that the healing we have is past tense, a spiritual healing received at salvation. We do not have complete physical healing today because... Oh, you can't just say that. I'm going to say it, and here's the reasons why. Number one, healing and the power to heal left the Apostle Paul at one point. Trophimus, have I left at Miletum sick? Now, how come he couldn't heal him? Paul could not heal Miletum. Or not Miletum, Trophimus. He couldn't heal Trophimus. He was sick. Paul left him there sick. Now, wait a minute. There were other times Paul was able to heal. And he did perform miracles of healing. But he couldn't heal Trophimus, one of his fellow workers. Of all people, you would think he would heal him, if anybody. Number two, Epaphroditus was sick, nigh unto death. Philippians chapter 2. Go there. Philippians chapter 2. Paul is connected with this incident here. Well, if Paul believed as the charismatics believe, why couldn't he have just healed him? Claim the healing. It's in the atonement. Go ahead. Philippians 2, 25, starting in verse 25. Philippians 2. I need to get there. I'm on the wrong page. Philippians 2, verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. See, the church of Philippi had sent Epaphroditus, a gentleman, to go and help the apostle Paul in his ministry. And he did. Verse 26. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. Epaphroditus was kind of worried about the people back home, worrying about him because he was sick. Verse 27, for indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. Enter the charismatic healer. Put your hands on him. Heal him up. Claim the healing. It's in the atonement. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again ye may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Paul could not heal Epaphroditus. They had to rely upon the mercy of God and through prayers that God would heal Epaphroditus. God chose to do so. He was nigh unto death. And nothing is said here that Paul, you know, did any miraculous thing to heal him. It was the mercy of God, the answer to the prayers of all the saints who were concerned about Epaphroditus. Why did Paul let him get so bad? He was nigh unto death. I mean, come on, Paul, heal him before he's nigh unto death. Why wait till he's nigh unto death? I don't know. Maybe he just wants to make it more, obvious to everybody. Wow, look how bad it is here. No, why didn't Paul take care of him right away? Why didn't Epaphroditus heal himself? Why didn't Epaphroditus heal himself? If every believer can do it, did he not have enough faith? Paul never criticized him for lack of faith. His raising to health was an act of divine mercy, not an atonement right. Or entitlement. Everybody feels entitled these days, don't they? Entitled to get all kinds of food and money, and I'm entitled to be well. I deserve to get lots of money. The commercials on TV, very interesting. I've been watching some of them. How that, like insurance companies will get on there and say, get the coverage you deserve. You'll hear those words a lot. You deserve. You're entitled to this. And the Christian world has their same kind of entitlement plan. It's in the atonement. You have every right to claim a healing. And you should never take sickness unto yourself. When you do, it's a lack of faith. And you need to repent of that. I hear some of them preach that. Why didn't Epaphroditus heal himself? And are we going to accuse Epaphroditus here, one of a great servant of the Lord in the Bible, of not having enough faith to claim the atonement healing? No. No. Number three, use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. 1 Timothy 5:23. This would have been madness if Paul could heal Timothy. Why didn't Timothy heal his own stomach and other often sicknesses by laying on of hands as charismatics do? Why use wine? Did Timothy lack the faith to be healed? No, we know that's not true. Timothy was a great man of faith, a great servant of the Lord. And Paul gave witness and testimony in other epistles of Timothy's great faith and faithfulness. Number four, Luke, the beloved physician in Colossians 4:14. Luke would not have continued as a physician if he, along with all believers, could heal at will. Why is he referred to so lovingly like this? Luke, the beloved physician. I'm glad to have him along with me, Paul says. You know, he's my co-worker. He's my fellow laborer. Luke is with me. The doctor is with me. Why would you need a doctor? Why do we need doctors at all? And I hear some of these charismatics say, you're exercising lack of faith to go to a doctor instead of just claiming your healing. And folks, I want to tell you, I've had several times now going out to the Cancer Treatment Center of America, because it seems that a lot of charismatics are there, okay? And they know you're a Christian when you pray for your food and so forth, and then they come on over and they want to fellowship with you and everything. And I fellowship with them, okay? I do. I go as far as I can with them, okay? But some of them have said, would you let me pray for you? I said, sure, go ahead. Appreciate any prayers that anybody says for me. And it's for my cancer situation. They want to pray. And they'll put their hands on my head, and one guy put his hands on my head. I let him do it. Yeah, okay. I listen to him pray, and he's going, oh, God, and I claim healing for Gary. I claim that all this cancer will be gone from his body. So be it. Amen. And they get loud about it. I still have cancer. It's still there. I'd like to say to them, hey, what's the matter with your faith? Don't you have enough faith to heal me? They would probably blame me for not having enough faith. You see, there's always a way out with the charismatic teaching of this thing. But it's wrong teaching. It's built upon a wrong foundation. It's false teaching. I've had others put their arm around me and they pray the same way, and you know, they claim the healing and everything. And here I am months later, I still got the same cancer. It's still showing up on the scans. It's there. It hasn't gone away. It has stopped growing, and it's kind of stable right now. That's why they gave me time off till May 21st. We'll see what happens when we get to May 21st. I hope it doesn't start growing and going to places, but you know, I can't keep doing that chemotherapy routine. It's going to kill me itself. So it doesn't work the way they say. They're phony. They would like to believe it. They would like to think it's so. And every once in a while, someone does get better. And of course, wow, that's the example given. And now this is why I got to put my hands on your head and pray on you, because it happened one time to someone else. Number five. In James, it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. It does say about anointing him with oil and things like that. And I do that. I believe that. I've done it. I've gotten some olive oil and gone to a house of someone who requested me to come and pray for them and anoint them with oil. As James says, I've done it. I've gone in there, poured a little bit of oil in my hand here and put it on their face and on their forehead and that. That's what I did. I didn't give them a rub down or anything. I just put a little oil on there, a type of, symbol of the Holy Spirit. That's all I can think of it. It says it in the book of James, so I do it. And I pray for them. And you know this one woman that I did do it to? She did get better for a while. Now, she eventually died of the same disease. It was cancer. This was a long time ago, okay? So, I'll probably get a whole bunch of requests from you all now to bring that special oil over or whatever. I just bought that oil in the CVS or Rite Aid, someplace like that. That's all it was. And I just used it and put it on their forehead, and then I prayed. I prayed for her. And you know, she got well, right, honey? She got well for a while. For several years, she was fine. And she succumbed to it again, and it took her life from her. So I don't claim a healing there. I just claim the mercy of God in answer to prayer. That He was merciful to her and gave her several more years to live. And she did live. And she would say thank you for coming over several times, after that, coming over and praying for her. But that's what I did. I just did what the Bible said. I didn't claim anything. I didn't demand the cancer to leave her body. I just prayed that the Lord's will would be done in her life. If so be it to heal her and make her better, that was our desire. Why didn't the sick man who called for the elders heal himself if healing is in the atonement? The prayer of faith, not the gift of healing, shall save the sick. The sick was to call for the church elders, not the healer or the person of great faith. Just call for the church elders, elders of the church, whether they have great faith or not. Call for the elders of the church. And then these words make no sense if healing is in the atonement. Listen to this. Well, let's go to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12. I'm in 2 Corinthians. Hope I said that. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. You see, Paul was given many revelations about the gospel of grace, what the church age was going to be like, even the mystery of the rapture of us going up to heaven and everything. Paul was given those revelations to reveal unto us. And he says, lest I should be exalted above measure for all the revelations I had, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Three times Paul prayed to be healed of this, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Folks, there is one reason why the Lord may permit you to remain sick of something. There's a reason. You can claim all the atonement power and everything you want, but it isn't going to change. The Lord has a reason for you being sick. It's that that my strength may be made perfect in weakness. So here's Paul's response. Most gladly, therefore, will I call for Benny Hinn to do what the Lord won't do for me. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, and now Paul adds a bunch of things here besides just healing. In necessities, that would be when he didn't have the things that he needed to survive on a daily basis, such as food, clothing, and a place to stay. Those are the necessities that if the Lord provides, we should be content with them. But here he says, I will take pleasure in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For you see, the reason why I focused in on those various other things besides infirmities there, the charismatics will say of this verse, well, this doesn't really apply to general healing because Paul was being used for a specific purpose here, to suffer for Christ. No. Paul said, I will therefore take pleasure not only in this sickness, but in everything else that comes my way that may not be desirable. In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You know, some of the most beautiful witnesses to the glory of Christ and to His work in our lives and His power has come through believers who were suffering for Christ, who were diseased or weak in the flesh. Seldom, and I'll use the word seldom, does the power of Christ and the glory of Christ come through when we're living at ease and everything is fine. Most of the time, even our own being drawn closer to the Lord comes as a result of going through a troublous time in our life. So, you know, when we have prayer meetings and prayer requests are given, we need to be careful that we don't always ask for the Lord to take it away. We can ask, Lord, take it away if it's your will, just like Paul prayed 3 times that it would depart from him. But you know, when it was all over and done with, he had to say, I'll rejoice in my infirmity if that's the way you want it, Lord. It may be the Lord's will for you to remain sick for a certain amount of time. Maybe even right up till you take your last breath. But as you do and go through it, if you could give honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ for having rescued your lost soul and healed you from sin and its consequences, what a testimony that is to the lost. I think it's a far greater testimony than these phonies claiming healing in the atonement, which isn't even right. It's not even right. I've been healed through the atonement of the consequences of sin. And one of these days, even my body is going to enjoy it. You see, for all of those reasons I gave here, here's one more reason. Experience alone tells you that these healers are false. Because every one of them eventually gets sick and dies. Every one of them. Even Catherine Kuhlman from way back, she was a healer. You know, she got very ill and died of sickness at the end. Why couldn't she heal herself? Or why couldn't one of her followers heal her? The healing was in the atonement, but she died of sickness. All these other healers that have come and gone, Oral Roberts died of some sickness that he got. And now his son continues the silly going on of healing in the atonement and saying, you should not take the sickness to yourself. And we got a letter from someone who had their hand on the TV and I put my hand on the microphone or whatever and I prayed through and the power of the Lord came through the TV set to her and healed her body. What baloney? What baloney? That's Christian garbage. And he has a whole pile of testimony. You know what? Come on. And then, of course, along with the healing comes the teaching of sow a seed of faith to our ministry. You know what it is all about? It's all about money. It's all about money and making merchandise of people by saying, I can heal you of your sicknesses in a way that's not scriptural. And isn't it amazing how many people fall for this? They fall for it every single day. While I'm up here preaching to this group of people, the TV sets are filled with evangelists that are preaching this false doctrine, false healing, and
false fundraising, which goes hand in hand with the... You'll get the healing when you sow the seed of faith, which is money to my ministry. It's ungodly. It's sacrilegious. It's blasphemy of the atonement of my Savior on the cross of Calvary. Because that's not what happened there. And it has been the experience of all believers since Christ died on the cross that we get sick at times, and sometimes it's the Lord's will for us to be sick or to have necessities or distresses or persecutions or reproaches. That means the lost making fun of us for our belief in Christ. All these are part of filling up the sufferings of Christ. We're to fill up the sufferings of Christ that He did on earth. We're to follow in His footsteps. And you know what? We ought to make it a badge of honor if I can suffer for my Lord the way He suffered while He was here on this earth. If I can follow in the footsteps of those who followed the Lord, like Paul, and the martyrs, the Christian martyrs down through the ages, the reproaches, the distresses, the persecution, the infirmities. We all know Christians who are sick and they've not been healed. And we've prayed for them. How many Wednesday nights have we prayed for certain individuals? They still got the sickness. You've been praying for your pastor, and I appreciate it. Lord, if it be possible, take the cancer away from our pastor. But you better qualify it by saying, nevertheless, not our will, but thy will be done, Lord, in our pastor's life with his cancer. There's no one more desirous to get rid of cancer than me. I'd like to get rid of it. Oh boy, would I like to get rid of that. Lord, don't you know I could perform better without that? I have complained to the Lord. All right, I'll be honest with you. I've complained about it to him. But then when I, search some scriptures and I get my spiritual head screwed on right, I realize, look, he must have some reason for this. And I will tell you, that I think I've been drawn closer to the Lord through this than anything else. I can remember when the first occurrence happened. This is the third occurrence. Boy, oh boy, did that ever put the brakes on life all of a sudden. And you realize the brevity of life. And also, the Lord really doesn't need me. I'm not really that important. Actually, it's the other way around. Lord, you need me here. You can't let me die. You need me here at Ray Street. You know what? No, he doesn't. And you find out right quick when you know you got something that can take your life like that. You realize it. And it draws you closer to the one whom you've put all your eternal destiny into the hands of. Think of it. You've put your eternal destiny into the hands of the Lord who's been described to you by this book. I mean, you've placed your whole eternal destiny into the hands of Jesus Christ of the Bible. I hope you've all done that. Hope you all say, oh yeah, I have eternal life. But you know, some of these things the Lord brings into your life, maybe even finance troubles, necessities, maybe you're getting reproached for the cause of Christ, maybe there's people who give you a lot of grief for being saved. Just count it up as an infirmity for which you can glorify the Lord Jesus Christ with. And if you're healthy and you're experiencing good times and everything, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for it. Thank the Lord for good health. Thank the Lord you can take a breath in and breathe it back out. Thank the Lord you can eat almost any kind of food you like and it tastes good to you. Because that's not the way it is for me now. I just had peanut butter and jelly toast this morning, which is normally a very tasty thing for me. And as I was eating, and I thought, boy, this doesn't even taste like anything. Well, I'll swallow it anyway. Get it down there. Okay, go do what you're supposed to do in my body. Stuff just doesn't taste good anymore. We had pizza last night. You say, oh, boy, Pastor, with a diet like this, no wonder you got... Well, okay, we don't do this all the time, but we had pizza last night. And it didn't taste like pizza to me. It just tasted like rubber, sort of like rubber in there. I tasted the tomato sauce. Well, we asked for a little bit more tomato sauce. Boy, here I am talking all about this. And but the cheese tastes like rubber. And I just chew it up, mangle it up, and let it go down. And let it do whatever it's going to do. Ay, ay, ay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for taste buds that aren't working anymore. Draw me closer to yourself. I don't know what the future holds, but draw me closer to yourself. And you know what else it has done? It has made me more bold for Christ. I don't think twice about talking to someone about the Lord. Before, I kind of thought, well, I wonder what they'll think about me if I talk to them. I wonder what the results will be. Well, you know, I'm selling a grave plot here. If I give them a tract, maybe I'll lose the sale. I don't care. I don't care anymore. Because I think I'm grabbing a hold of the truth, of the brevity of life. We're only here. Our life is told as a tale that is told. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. It's made me realize that. So if you're hanging around me and I start witnessing to someone and you get a little bit, get away. Too bad. I'm going to be preaching to them. I'm going to be giving them a track. I'm going to be doing something because I don't know how much longer I have to live to give testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much more witness can I do? And I keep thinking, boy, if I died today, have I done everything I should do for the Lord? Have I done enough for Him? That's what I think about. I think about the judgment seat of Christ where all the believers are going to stand. Will I have something there? Will there be some fruit there? Will I be rewarded? Oh, I want to serve my Lord. And the song that comes to my mind is this, and let's, Jason, if you could come, number 11, and it's just a chorus, just a small chorus. Number 11, after all He's done for me, I sang it earlier in Sunday school. It comes to my mind here, you know what, folks, let's serve the Lord. Let's be busy for Him. And when troubles come and things come into your life, don't be a complainer about it, a murmurer about it. Talk to the Lord about it to take it away if He sees fit. But if not, then Lord, give me the strength to endure and be a witness for You in the midst of it. Let's stand and sing number 1, after all He's done for me. How can I do less than give Him my best? Jason. After all He's done for me, after all He's done for me, how can I do less than give Him my best and live for Him completely after all He's done for me? A nice little chorus to sing. You could sing it in the car, sing it at home, sing it when troubles come. Let's sing it again. After all He's done for me, after all He's done for me, how can I do less than give Him my best and live for Him completely after all He's done for me? Dear God, thank You for bringing us together and challenge our hearts with the things out of Thy Word we've seen today. Thank You that Jesus took care of it all on the cross of Calvary, and even someday all the sicknesses and troubles of life will be vanished away as we rise up either from the grave or as alive and remaining to meet the Lord in the air, and we will be changed and never again deal with sickness. Never have to have a prayer meeting about that again. We'll be able to walk with You in perfection. All these things gone. We thank You for it. Help us now. In the meantime, as we await the Lord's return, as we live our lives out on this earth, help us to realize all You have done for us and say, I just need to live for Him more completely, totally for the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.